Yeah, so Mishnah and Brachas on Daf Nun Dalid says Chayev Adam Levarech. Here we go. Oh, you want to tell me before I start? I'm supposed to be reminded this tonight's shiur is being sponsored by my parents in honor of my father's grandfather's yard site. Thank you. Aaron Ben Dove. So he's sponsored, so everyone can hear from me. I had a very nice dinner tonight in honor of my great-grandfather's yard site. Okay, so Aaron Ben Dov, this year is Le'ilei Nishmasoi. Okay, here we go. Bitachon. So yeah, so the Mishnah in Brachas says, the last parak of Brachas, Daf Nun Dalid, says, Chayev Adam, let me get it, Chayev Adam Levarach Al Harak, Yishem Shemavarach Al Toivah. That you're chayav to make a bracha on the bad, the same way you're chayav to make a bracha on the good. And the Gemara on Daf Samach says, "Lekibulinu b'simcha." The idea is to be mekabelit b'simcha. So here we have this concept that obviously we all want and we enjoy and we'd rather everything good and what we think is good. Yet the Gemara is telling us that we have to be mekabel everything and be mevarech Hashem, thank Hashem, praise Hashem for all the bad, just like we would for the good. I'll just pull out this concept with an unrelated story. There was a certain Rosh Yeshiva who was very proud of his yeshiva. And he, at midnight, he had a guest, another rabbi friend, and said, come with me. And he took this Rosh Yeshiva took his friend outside the building of his yeshiva. And he said, you see that? It's midnight. The lights are on and you can hear the Kol Torah. I love Torah. I love the fact that everyone might be learning. So this rabbi friend or ex-friend said to him, would you be as happy if it would be someone else's yeshiva? We're only happy because it's your yeshiva. What he was trying to get across was, do you love Torah? You love learning? Or you just love the fact that it's your yeshiva with your name on it? Anyway, borrowing the concept, very like a big stretch, sometimes there's things that we like and don't like, and there's good and the bad. Here we're saying we're chayav to make a bracha on the good, just like the bad. This Rosh Hashiva wouldn't even be willing to be so happy about someone else learning, let alone something bad. Our job and our level of bitachon is that when bad things happen, that same level of hakar satoiv, of bracha, that we feel when it's good, the Mishnah and the Gemara is saying we have to have that all when bad is happening. So whatever's going on around us, for the good or for the not so good, our job, however hard it is, and it is to be mevarech Hashem for the toiv, and for the ra, just like we are on the toiv. Obviously, the high madrega is something for to shoot for. And then a related thought in davening, something came to me today in Ahava Rava, right before Shema, we say, the higher a name of Sarasaka, our eyes should be opened up. Enlighten our eyes with your Torah. Abek libenu, our heart should be double cleansing, cleaving to you. Yachel libenu le'ahavo li'ir Hashemacha, v'lo nevo t'adom v'ed. We should love and fear your name, and we should never be disgraced. So here in Abba Rabba, we have multiple things that Torah could accomplish. Through the Torah, our eyes get opened up, we cling to Hashem, and we will never be we should never be disgraced. In Tehillim, in Perek Yotes, which we say on Shabbos, in Psukei Dezimra, a perhaps very famous pasuk, Torah is Hashem Tamima, and it says over there, Meshivas Nafesh, Eidus Hashem Namana, Machkimas Pesi, here we have in Tehillim four different things that the Torah and the mitzvahs do for us. That it is pure, and what does it do? Here we go. I'll read in English. It restores the soul. It makes those that are simple wise. It gladdens the heart. Enlightens the eyes. So here we have, not exactly connected, but one's a parak in Tehillim, which we say on Shabbos, and one is, just every day, certain effects that the Torah has for us. So as I was davening today, these thoughts came into my mind, how wonderful it is through the Torah and the mitzvahs, we should have the ability to A, get smart, B, cling to Hashem, and our eyes should be open. What does our eyes being open mean? To be able to understand perhaps on a deeper level, with the world being as wide as it is now, the more we cling and the more we learn the Torah and do the mitzvahs, we dive in every day that we should, through that we should have the ability to see things clearer, to get smarter, to cling to Hashem. And during times like this, we definitely want to be double clinging to Hashem as much as possible. And that was the thought that came to me today in Dominic. All right, so let's get to work over here. Hilchas, so we finished Hilchas Pesach. I will call it the Kitzer version, shortened version of Hilchas Pesach, and Yontif and Sfiras Ayimer. Now we'll just spend some time a little bit doing Chol HaMoed. Hilchas Chol HaMoed, for those who want to follow along, well, most of it will be orally, but it's going based on Shulchan Aruch Simen Tav Kuf Lamed, which is in Chelek Vav of the Mishnah Berurah. And it's there are about 19 simanim on Hilchas Chol HaMoed. We'll run through some of the most frequently asked and relevant questions. Two things we have to know as a general background for Chol HaMoed, that even though Chol HaMoed is not Yontif, Chol HaMoed is not weekday. It's somewhere in between. It's not Yontif, it's not weekday. Hence the name Chol HaMoed. It's a little bit Chol, a little bit Moed. It's a little bit of a mix. So what is going on during Chol HaMoed? So we should know it is a Machlekes Rishonim if the malachas that are aser on Chol HaMoed, are they aser midrabanan or midraisa? The way Shulchan Aruch opens up in Tav Kuf Lamed, Chol HaMoed aser biktsas malachas umutasan. It's aser in some and it's mutter in some. Right? Knowing the Lamedes malachas on Shabbos, there are 39 things that are aser on Shabbos. So on Chol HaMoed, some are mutter, some are aser. Those, there are rishayim that hold this, that's aser, it's aser midraisa. Other Rishayim hold, it's only aser midrabanan. But whatever it is, it's for sure aser. So I would like to just, in general, there are three exceptions or three things that even if it's aser, it's mutter. Meaning like this. Certain things which are needed for food, any food-related things, anything which you need for yantif, it's one heter. It's called sarchei mayid. Anything which is needed for mayid, anything which is needed for chol hamayid, those things are mutter and chol hamayid. That's one heter. A second heter is anything that is davar ha'avad. Davar ha'avad means that you stand to lose. If you have a job and you don't work, you stand to lose, you're allowed to work. If you have certain things that need to be done, as we'll see, we'll go through, so there's a heter called davar ha'avad, you're allowed to do it to avoid loss. That's a second heter. A third heter is maisa hedjait, which means it does not take a big craftsman to do what you're doing. It's a simple chore, a simple act. So these are three, even if things are aser, and they are aser on Chol HaMoed, there are three, there are other heterim, but three that are most commonly used and applied heterim to allow you to do something on Chol HaMoed. Davar Avid, a loss, something which is a hedjot, a simple thing to be done, and something which is Letzarach HaMoed, which is needed for Yantar. Okay, so we'll just go through in Simen Tav Kuf Lamed, In Simen Tav Kuf Lamed Aleph discusses haircuts. So yes, I got a haircut, and so did I hope everyone by this point. My barber is not here right now, but she did a wonderful job. And the way it goes like this: that you are not allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. You're supposed to get one before Chol HaMoed. It's also to get during Chol HaMoed. If there are certain scenarios where there's a big oinus, still, it's aser, except for super duper extenuating circumstances, which we won't go through now. We hope they don't happen. But in general, it's aser to get a haircut. If you feel that you are an extenuating circumstance, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. But it's not just a simple heter to get a haircut. However, we spoke about davar ha'avad is mutter. No, thank you very much. We spoke about davar ha'avad being mutter. Let's say you need to get a haircut, you have an important meeting, and you may lose the job, you may lose the business, that could be a hetter. So for those who do have work these days, I don't know if anyone does, but if anyone does have work, and it's very important to look groomed, so then that would be a hetter, perhaps, to shave. Shaving refers to the beard and to the hair. The mustache is mutter. The mustache is mutter to shave if it gets in the way of eating. Anyway, so these are certain halachas in Tav Kuf Lamed Al as far as shaving. Yeah. Next, as far as taking a bath, showering, no problem. Mutter, you can use soap, even if it's bar soap. All of those things are considered tzarchei mayed. There's absolutely no isser to take any type of washing, cleansing activity. Tav Kuf Lamed Bet discusses fingernails and toenails and the like. You should cut your fingernails before Yontif and toenails before Yontif. And you should not do it during Chol HaMoed. You are allowed to bite them. You are allowed to pick them with your fingers. You are not allowed to cut them with the normal instruments. However, if you did cut them before Yontif, like tonight or tomorrow, and you need to cut it on Chol HaMoed, then there's a heter, you would be allowed to do that, which is not the case by shaving. Even if you shave Erev Yontif, it does not allow you to shave during Yontif, except if there's a hefsid. Okay, that's as far as fingernails. Then let's move on as far as kibus. So kibus, which means washing, laundry, Tav Kuf Lamed Daled. Shulchan Aruch discusses kibus, laundry. So we spoke about earlier, you should make sure you do all of your laundry tonight and tomorrow before Chatzos. From Chatzos and on, it's a big problem to do laundry, and Chol HaMoed is a big problem to do laundry. So try to do all your laundry in advance. If, however, you are down to your last undergarment or overgarment or any garment, and you need it washed, so you can wash it and only it. You can only wash exactly what you need. You can't say, well, once I'm washing one thing, let me wash the 20 other things that I don't really need now, but I'd rather them have being clean. You can't do that. You're allowed to wash what you need when you need it. Now, if you are the parents of multiple children who enjoy soiling, dirtying multiple things and multiple things at a time, so you do not need to wash one thing at a time, you can therefore wash in advance, knowing that it's going to happen. You can wash things like that. Same thing goes by towels. If you know you're going to need 7 more towels, you can do that. A commonly asked question is, I have 8 shirts, but I happen to have one that's my favorite. I don't need to wear that shirt, but it happens to be my favorite shirt, and I will get Simchas Yontif if I wear that shirt. So that would probably be okay, even though you have other things to wear, but that's your special super duper hero shirt. You really want to wear that one, so then you can be leaning and wear that one. If you have something which you do not need but has a stain in it, if you don't get the stain out, it will be ruined. So that would go under the category of Davar HaAvid. So do whatever the minimum that's needed. If you just do a stain remover, that's great. If you actually need to wash it, okay. But that's under the category of Davar HaAvid. If you need to iron, only iron exactly what you need. It's also iron, even if it's clean, to just iron is a problem. But if you need that shirt or whatever that is for Yontif, so then you would be allowed to iron because it's not a Maisa Uman. It's a simple task. And it is something which you need for Yontif. Okay. Now, as far as different, the Shulchan Aruch discusses different things like animals and things, we'll leave that alone. But what about a car? Can you drive a car? Driving a car is a malacha. So if you want to drive your car to, if you want to drive your car to go places because you need to get out, and that will give you a simcha of Chol HaMoed, that's fine. If you want to drive your car just because you're bored, you have nothing else to do, I'm not sure. It has to be something that there's some sort of a need. I mean, normally you get in the car because there is a need, so it'll be fine. But the point is, when you get into your car and you drive a Chol HaMoed, it's because it is needed for Chol HaMoed. To take a tiul is fine, and that is a heter on Chol HaMoed. So as far as working, let's say you work for a company that is working Chol HaMoed, if you can take off, great. If you can't take off, that's fine. That's considered Davar HaAvid, which is discussed in Tav Kuf Lamed Ches, Tav Kuf Lamed Tes. Also, all certain scenarios of Davar HaAvid is mutter on Chol HaMoed. If you need to build a house, don't do it. If you need to paint your house, don't do it. If you need to put a door back on its hinges, you can do that. Certain simple tasks around the house is fine. Again, that's Maisa, not a Maisa Uman. That's not a craftsman work. That's something which is very simple. Yes, you can drive away to get from everyone if that will give you some Simchas Yontif. But it, so to fix certain easy tasks around the house is fine, nothing major. And that is discussed in Tavkuf Mem in Shulchan Aruch. Tavkuf Mem Aleph discusses sewing. And so like this, if you need to sew on a button for Chalom Mayed, that's fine. If you have a pile of 85 things that's been waiting to be sewn, you cannot do that. Whatever is needed for Chalom Mayed, that is what you are allowed to sew. And that is because it's a simple task. And so you can do that on Chalom Mayed. As far as stitching a hem or whatever it is you would need to do, anything which is considered a simple task that's needed for Chalom Mayed would be mutter. Yeah, so that is that. Now, as far as writing. So in Taf Kuf Mem Hei, Shulchan Aruch, it discusses writing on Chalom Mayed. So writing in general is considered usur. You're not allowed to write in Chalom Mayed. However, our writing, as long as it's not with a quill and Sefer Torah and fancy calligraphy, is considered Maisa Hejot. And if there's a need, it's mutter. So if you need to have a shopping list, if you need to write certain things down, it's mutter. It's recommended to do with a shinoi, which means left hand, left hand. That would be great. But if you can't pull that one off, it will not be legible. Okay. But you definitely can write simple things if it's needed on Chol HaMoed. If you want to write Divrei Torah, that's fine without a shinoi. You can write your Divrei Torah in a normal fashion. That's considered Davar HaAved. And if you don't do it now, it's no good. Now, as far as texting or computers or a smartphone, so here's the way this goes. It's not considered halakhically writing when you type into your computer. So that would be fine. You can type, you can text. As far as printing it out, there is a debate. There's a discussion if you can just print things. But again, if it's needed, great. If it can be done after Yontif, so better to wait till after Yontif. The end of Hilchos Chol HaMoed discusses, hopefully, things which won't be relevant, but if there are levayas, people passing away, so in general, the way it works is if someone passes away on Yontif or Chol HaMoed, they do kvura as soon as possible, the same way you would ever do it. But there's no avelus until after, meaning they don't sit shiva until after Yontif. There are certain halachas that are relevant for the avel themselves, but for the people around the avel, there is no avelus, there's no sitting shiva on Yontif or on Chol HaMoed. And that pretty much is a shortened version of Hilchos Chol HaMoed. There is an Indian to have a suda on Chol HaMoed every day, not a chiv, but a nice Indian to have basar v'yayin. And so you can try to do that in your home all day anyway. I guess there's nothing really else to do except for eat and text. So that is probably what most people will be doing. But at least when you're doing it, have in mind the mitzvah Simchas Yontif. Okay, that is that. I think Josh, you asked, if you wash clothing before, can you wash it after? It's not a general heter. If you need it, you can wash it, but only if you really need it. The fact that you washed it before doesn't give you a heter to wash everything. If that was your question, if not, we'll discuss it another time. Okay, so now, that's a wrap of Chol HaMoed. We'll talk later, Josh. Now, let me just answer. I told you I asked double riddles last night and double shilas last night because I will not be asking any new riddles, any new shilas tonight. So here's the way this goes. We asked last night that the Mishnah Brewer brings down there is a Indian to have something special to eat on the second day of Pesach, whether it's Chol HaMoed, whether it's Yontif. What is the reason for that? So if you take a look at Mishnah Berurah, Siman Tav Tzadik, Sifkat and Beis, the Mishnah Berurah says that Toiv Lasais B'Yoyim Beis B'Suda Eze Davar L'Zecher Sudas Esther She'B'Yoyim Hahu Nitla Haman. Haman was hung or hanged at the Suda that Esther made with Achashverosh on the second day of Pesach. So as a Zecher to that, we make have something special at Yesuda to remind us of that. We happen to celebrate Purim on Yud Gimel because that's when the decrees were, and I mean Yudalit as well. But the actual hanging of Haman happened on second day of Pesach, and therefore to commemorate that, we have something special. No beer, no whiskey, but you can come up with something else to have. Now that was the answer to riddle number one. The second one we asked was in Dayenu, of all the occurrences that happened in Dayenu, we say Dayenu. except for one of them. Tequila, I think Aaron Lieberman has extra tequila for everyone, so you can go ahead and go to him. Now, for Dayenu, in all of, yeah, so on all the things which happened, we say Dayenu except for one. The question was which one, and the answer is the first one. If you take a look, I'll read you the first line of Dayenu. It says, Ilu hotzianu mimitzrayim, v'loy atzah behem shvatim, Dayenu. We do not say, had Hashem taken us into Mitzrayim and not taken us out of Mitzrayim, Dayenu. So the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim is something which seems to be not negotiable. That's something which we cannot say, oh, and even had you not taken us out of Mitzrayim, oh, Dayenu would have been enough. I read in the Hamudia last year from Rabbi Avi Shafran, I believe. He made this diak. I'm not sure who was quoting, maybe his own. And he explained that to not have been taken out of Mitzrayim is something which is non-negotiable. That's when we became B'nai Yisrael. Had we stayed in Mitzrayim, we would not have become this nation of Am Yisrael. So we couldn't say Dayenu to anything else if we couldn't have been taken out. We Alevez is be taken out. Now we're a nation. Oh, now we're a nation. Now we're born. Okay, as far as everything else that happened to us, getting all the lachas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Har Sinai, Matan Torah, Eretz Yisrael, all those other things we could say, you know what, even without that, we could have thanked you. But to not been taken out, that's something we cannot have done without. Okay, that was a nice diak in Dayenu. Then we asked four lamdas shailas. Shaila one we asked was, why is there no Shechianu on the mitzvah Sfiras Omer? So the Rishonim asked this question, and they say a few different answers. One answer given is that it's not a mitzvah which has any maisa, and it's not a mitzvah which has any special hana. Normally, Shechianu is a time of simcha when there's certain pleasure involved. Sfiras Omer is there's no maisa and there's no pleasure, and the Baal Amor adds on it actually causes us pain. Because it reminds us of the fact that we don't have the base of Mikdash. So he says we can't say Shechianu on that. The Chassidus Svarim say a little bit different. The Chassidus Svarim say that the Sfiras Omer is a 7-week process of becoming Tahar. We're going from Tuma to Tara. So right now we're Tameh, and these 7 weeks we want them to go really fast to get Tara. So since we want them going really fast, we don't really enjoy them. It's not something we can make a Shechianu on. Anyway, that is a Chassidish look at this answer, at the Shechianu. Fine, that was the first question. Second question was, why do we not count 2 days of Sfiras Omer and Chutz La'aretz? So saying we don't know which day officially, or the minhag is, we don't know which day was Pesach. So therefore, we don't know which day the Omer was brought. So you keep 2 days of Yantiv, you should also count the sphere 2 different days, meaning Thursday night, you should be counting first day, and Friday night, you should be counting 2 counts. Tonight's the first night, or tonight's the second night. You should count both. So the Rishonim asked this question as well, and they say, if you're going to do that, it's going to come out that on the first night of Shavuos, you will be counting sphere as well. So while you're making Kiddush, it's Yantiv, it's Shavuos, you're also going to say, oh, and tonight's the 49th night of the Omer. So the Rishayim say that's a zilzul to Yantiv. That's a disgrace. Here I am, I'm making Kiddush on Shavuos, and I'm saying it's the 49th night of the Omer. That's one answer the Rishayim give. Another answer, similar to what my father was mentioning, is it possible to have 2 counts? What's a count? A count means 1, 2. If I say 1 or 2, that's not a count. If I tell you I need to know how many people are here, I give you a second option, well, then that's not a good counting. It's definitely not accurate, but it's not a count. That's the answer to something Achareinim want to say, that it's impossible to do such a thing. But since it's impossible to have such a count, so we pick and we go based on the first one, since we assume, nowadays at least for sure, the first one is the more accurate one. Anyway, that is the answer to that question. Okay, now to Rabbi Klein's questions. He had asked, very geschmack, which is, why is it that by Yalla the Yavai, if you forget Yalla the Yavai, you do repeat every Shmona Esrei on Yantif and some on Rosh Chodesh, yet by Al Hanisim, if you forget Al Hanisim, you don't need to repeat. So what's the pshat in that? So the easy answer could be that Al Hanisim is only on Yom Tov and Derabanans, whereas Yalla the Yavos are on Yom Tov and Deraisas, and therefore maybe the Rabbanan were machmir on the Yalla the Yavo. That would be a good answer. We could add a little bit, which is, and this gets to the depths of what is Yalla the Yavo and what is Al Hanisim. Al Hanisim is really just a large thanks to God. It's a haidah. Meaning, where do we put Al Hanisim? We put Al Hanisim in the middle of haidah in benching and in the middle of haidah in Shmona Esrei. So it's really part of something else. And that's why in Al Hamechia, we don't mention Al Hanisim, because we've already thanked Hashem. We don't need to thank Hashem for something else also in Al Hamechia. So here's the way this goes. Al Hanisim is a part of Haidah, which we're doing anyway on other things. So even if you left that out, you thanked Hashem. And therefore, if you forgot it completely, you don't need to repeat because you've already thanked Hashem for other things. So not for this, but that's enough. Whereas what is Yalla the Yavai? Yalla the Yavai is mentioning the day. We have not mentioned the day anywhere else in Shmona Esrei. So if you don't mention the day, you're not going to be Yotze. You're lacking that. Okay, so that would be a deeper Lamdisha answer. Yalla the Yavai is required li'ikuva because otherwise you have not mentioned the day. Whereas Al Hanisim, you have thanked Hashem for other things. Okay, that could be an answer to that question. And the last question we asked yesterday was, why is it that if I have a suffix, if I said Yalla the Yavo, we say you for sure didn't say it. Whereas if I don't know if I count Svira, it's like a 50-50. We don't know if you did, we don't know if you don't. We don't know if you didn't. So we could say a Geshmaka answer like this. By Yalla the Yavo, you don Shmona Esrei every day. But what? You don't say Yalla the Yavo every day. So every time you daven Shmona Esrei, you are not saying Yalla the Yavo. So if we don't know what you did, there is a chazaka, the same way the last 25, 30 days, you did not say Yalla the Yavo, you're Shmona Esrei. Now that you daven Shmona Esrei now, we will say you continued on what you're used to doing, which is not saying Yalla the Yavo. Whereas Sefiras HaOmer, it's a standalone mitzvah. It's not part of anything else. It's, did I do it? Did I not do it? You can't say, well, because the last 300 days, I didn't count tonight. It's its own standalone. I had a mitzvah, suffik if I did it, suffik if I didn't. That we're going to call 50-50. Whereas, by Yalla the Yavo, since you did daven Shmona Esrei every day, and you did not say Yalla the Yavo for the last 30 days, we will assume that you did not say tonight as well. Okay, that's a possible answer. Think about it. I'll end off with a pshat in the Haggadah, which is an interesting thing we have that in the middle of Haggadah, the Tanaim argue about how many makas were there in Mitzrayim and on the Yam. There was 10, there was 50, there was 200, 250. So it's interesting, why is it that they are fighting about how many makas there were? What difference does it make? Why are they fighting about it? So I heard a Geshmaka answer from the Vilna Goyin, that the Vilna Goyin quotes a pasuk in Beshalach, Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Chavav, that says, "Kol ha-machla she-sandi Mitzrayim le-asim alecha, ki ani Hashem reifecha. Anything that any machla that I gave to the Mitzrim, I will not give to you." So the Gra says, the more things that we could find, the more makas, the more machlas that Hashem brought onto the Mitzrim, the less will come to us. And therefore, perhaps that was a pshat in Tanayim. There was 10, there was 50, 200. The more, the merrier. Obviously, Corona was not one of the things based on this. We mentioned perhaps the Bar Manel that maybe Machas Bechayers was something like a Corona idea. May have been a first cousin to it, but it wasn't it. Because had it been it, we have the Haftachav and the Pasuk that whatever was brought on the Mitzvah will now be brought upon us. Anyway, that is the Pshat from the Goyim. And that's a wrap. So Mirz Hashem, we should have a great Yantiv. Remember, tomorrow there is no Mizmor de Seida, no Lam Natzeach, no Tachanun, which you won't forget. And as far as after Pesach, I think Rabbi Klein is planning on having a Rabbi Klein West yeshiva, virtual yeshiva. and Amir Hashem, I'll be part of it. The details to be followed. I want to thank Yoni and Zach Rosen for setting this up. Everyone should have a great Yontif. I'm going to go now, but my phone has been on, is on, and is always on. Everyone should have a great night and a great Yontif. We'll be in touch. Bye.